Hello, everyone.
Hi.
Welcome to
Queeriosities. That was pretty good for not having practiced it.
No giggle.
Yeah, no giggle.
And high five after it. Everyone heard that for sure.
We were kind of in sync, and we didn't even practice it.
We didn't. I think it's just like I can look you in the eye now, and we know.
Okay. Do you remember what happened when we tried to do the podcast on September 2nd? How many times we said Queeriosities, and you were like doing like a little finger point in the ear to try to bring my O up?
I know. I was trying. I was bringing in those like costume capers theater days, and I got a little bossy. So
you just wanted the Queeriosities to come out.
I really wanted us to match. Yeah. And we really weren't matching. And now that you've mentioned September 2nd.
Yeah.
Is that a downer to start with?
Guys, well, I think it's kind of funny looking back on it.
Okay. Because we tried to record this podcast on September 2nd.
Yeah. Like we said
it was
we
the
would.
Very first. Was it the first day of school? No, it was the week right before we had kids. So it was like our, after our journée pédagogique, like our PD day.
Right.
We thought, you know what? We got this podcast. Yeah. We're going to go home. It's going to be 9 p.m. We're going to start recording. We're going to be great.
Yeah.
We recorded. We probably took 2 hours to record because we were like not hitting it. We finally recorded it. Kayla's partner listened to it and was like, you guys can't publish that.
But we had suspicions.
100%.
And I said, be 100% honest. And she said, there's been better.
There's been better.
And it's not
terrible.
And we want like a certain level of like at least quality, I think, at this point.
I agree.
So we know we were trying to like up our game a little bit. So we're back at it today.
We epically failed, team. But because we have high expectations for you, we're back.
And when you fail, you learn something.
Oh, which right? is my first attempt in learning.
Yeah, it was an attempt in podcasting. It was a fail.
It was a fail. But now we're back and we are way more ready today.
We feel more settled.
Oh, do
Colleen's
we ever.
Done some stretching. She's ready to go.
Tried to convince Kayla and she said hard no.
Hard no.
But we've done a little bit of stretching. We're super ready to be here.
Yeah.
I think my biggest highlight of the last week and a half.
Yes.
Is that I see you
every day.
We're back together. Everyone, we just had the summer. And as you know, we're teachers. And so we had 2 months off. Mind you, we still saw each other every
couple of weeks.
2 weeks.
Every 2 weeks.
But now we're back. We're together every day. Mm-hmm. Although one big change, because Kayla is a teacher and I am now a counselor, that we are literally on the exact opposite ends of the school.
And different floors.
Which
is a game changer because typically like I would run to the staff bathroom and see you and I could tell you a quick story.
Mm.
And now I'm like, where's Colleen?
So can I tell you,
oh, right.
friends, what we did? So because Kayla can't tell me stories all throughout the day whenever she has to use the bathroom now, which is what happened last year, which I loved. So I got a little upset that I was not going to be let in on all of the amazing stories about the grade nines. That's who she teaches and who I taught last year. So in this grieving process of me no longer teaching, I bought Kayla a very beautiful pink furry journal.
Oh, it's epic.
Epic.
It's totally my personality.
Yeah. After the last episode, we were like, I fear the color pink.
Yeah. We've come a long way.
We're working on it. So we've got a pink furry journal. And now Kayla has to write every day all the stories that she wants to tell me. She writes them in code in the journal that she keeps on her desk. And at the end of the day, she meets me at my office and tells me all the amazing stories. Yeah. So I miss nothing.
Yeah. I like you a latte.
That's what it says on the journal. So that's my highlight.
Yeah. My highlight.
Tell me.
Is Cortado.
Oh my gosh.
All the time. Probably. I always say I'm only going to stop once a week.
Mm, never?
Never. It's usually twice a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to time it appropriately. And we have decided this year. It was always planned last year. I would give you a heads up or we'd pick our days as to when we each wanted Cortado.
And I would usually wake up to the text because Kayla wakes up at like ungodly hours. And I would wake up at a normal hour and I would have this amazing text. Is it a Cortado day? Question mark. So I would always know it was coming.
And now we've opted for surprises.
Oh, have
so now I just like appear with Cortado. And you're like this morning, completely caught off guard. Oh my God, it's today? No, I'm just holding an empty cup from Cortado.
I was. And it was right in the middle of the office, which I sometimes feel like, are other people pissed that they're not getting coffee? But
it's questionable
because I get that excited and you walk in and every time since like you've been giving me the big ones, like the 16
to 20
ounces.
I've stopped with the 12 ounces economically. I think it's a better choice. caffeine-wise, and for me, caffeine-wise, it's I think it's a better choice. You just get to enjoy more of it. So why not have 4 ounces more than normal? I think we're worth an extra 4 ounces. That's what I tell Cortado.
I like that.
Give me the 16s.
We're worth an extra 4 ounces. And so the surprise is just an absolute dream because I have my own coffee,
which is
that
not,
I make at home.
Not as good.
No, God, no. It's McDonald's, so it's good. Like, I like my pods, my McDonald's pods. But when then Cortado comes in, I can do Cortado from like 9 to 10. And then my own coffee, I don't even have to start until the break. So then I drink that from the break to lunchtime and then water in the afternoon. It's a perfect system.
You really like it a lot. I can see it in your eyes.
Yeah, truly. And that's all without any decaf. So imagine.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's a really good highlight.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. I really wanted to talk about popcorn, and I don't think it's necessary right now.
Okay, want to save it?
I want to save it.
Okay.
I was really passionate about it earlier today, and I wanted to talk about the new smart food flavors that I'm upset about, but let's save it.
You're just going to like drop a little bomb and then like walk away. And then people are going to be like, ooh, what's happening with the popcorn?
Maybe. Is that going to make you all come back next week? Because I'm into it.
Okay.
We'll talk about popcorn flavors next week.
I'm going to talk about my weekend.
Oh, I'm dying for you to talk about your weekend.
So Julie and I host my family.
And this is connected to the subject of today.
Yeah. So we're talking about heteronormativity today.
We sure are.
And it just so happened that we did our annual family barbecue, which we did a little later this year for other reasons. And we thought, no, we're still going to do it.
Love that.
So it happened on Sunday where my whole family came over and we did our thing. There was, you know, food and whatnot. And, you know, we're pretty low key people, but there was a special moment throughout the barbecue where Julie and I are in the kitchen and two of my three nieces are, you know, across the table from us and everyone else is kind of, you know, randomly here and there.
Okay. What ages are your nieces?
The two oldest ones are 5 and 7. Oh, fresh 5, almost an 8, okay. But we'll say 5 and 7.
Okay.
They're across the table from us. Everyone else is kind of like meandering outside. So it's just really us in the kitchen.
Yeah.
And I can see that like the oldest Frankie has a question and you can see it brewing.
Oh, it's amazing.
The question is coming.
Amazing. You can literally physically see the brain.
I can.
Like,
she just looked back and was like, who's the mom in this house?
That's amazing.
A great question. And it kind of relates to the heteronormativity. I can't say 100%. The word today. Because in her head, she's like, I've only come across families that have a mom and a dad and kids. And I'm just kind of wondering what exactly is going on in this house. How are people related? So I broke it down for her. I said, like, you have mommy and daddy. And then I said, my brother, Cooper, me and your mommy are all siblings. Cooper and Alicia are together. Me and Julie are together, just like mommy and daddy are together. And she could just see the wheels spinning. And it was great. But she didn't ask anything further. She was like, okay. And we just moved on from there. When are we going to the park?
Right, exactly. And that to me is the most beautiful part, right?
It's yeah. Like,
cool. I have this question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, the context in your family makes it that she's comfortable to ask that question.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. So like, that's not the context for all kids. They can't ask that question. But for me too, I'm like, okay, so you got Frankie who's 7, you got Marlo who's 5.
Yes. And Marlo who said not a word,
Marlo
but was like soaking it all in.
Just soaking it in. To me, I'm like, that middle child is just like, oh, okay. I'm learning. Getting it.
Yeah.
Like, thanks sis.
Yeah.
Cause I was
thanks for asking
the same
that question.
Thing, right. Cause the kids were thinking the same thing. Yeah. Who's the mom?
Yeah.
Who's the dad? Who's the mom?
What's like, going on in this house?
This unit makes no sense to me.
Yeah.
And also, what I find interesting is like, Frankie knows you. Frankie knows Julie.
Yeah.
But just seeing your family unit at her age where she's finally able to be like, huh, interesting. Like
she's putting pieces of the Lego puzzle together.
Exactly. And I think, and we can speak to this maybe later, is Frankie's not necessarily, you know, seeing a ton of queer couples on TV or seeing a ton of queer couples at school or
in the neighborhood.
Exactly. And that is the heteronormativity. That is the problem too. And it's not a problem with Frankie. Frankie's question is beautiful.
Yeah. Great question.
It's just, if the context was open since they were babies, of just like all different kind of couples existed.
If they grew up with a gay couple across the street.
Totally.
It would have been like, oh, okay.
Right.
And I think Frankie has always kind of known. Like, it's not like we just presented it now, but I think she's at the age, like you said, like she's just like, oh, okay, what exactly is happening here?
Right. Which, again, you told me a story before about, which makes me laugh, a neighbor or someone? Was there someone in your neighborhood?
The neighbors have two kids.
Yes.
And they were over, and it was like when I had freshly moved in. And they're kind of trying to figure out like the dynamic once again, and like probably the same ages, I think, as Frankie and Marlo. And they were just kind of like, where does Kayla live? And Julie were like, well, she lives here. Okay, but where does she sleep? And she was like, well, she sleeps upstairs, and we, you know, in our bedroom. It's mine and Kayla's bedroom. Okay. And not really kind of getting
it. But just puzzled in their eyes, right?
And I think it would happen to be that the next day, somebody at home, I think, had a conversation with him. And then she came back the next day and was like, I get it now. I've got it all figured out. Kayla is your husband. And end of story.
That's amazing.
Great story.
I got it. Like, yeah. Kayla is your husband.
It all makes sense to me now.
Because then you're like, okay, cool.
Just we FYI.
We missed a little something.
But good questions.
And great response, because you're just like, you're getting it. That in your mind, the husband, you understand that it's two women. So like, that's not a problem for you.
No.
But your vocabulary is still wife and husband.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And again, beautiful stories, but does really highlight just how much heteronormativity in our society is just, it's just everywhere, right? It's just penetrating the like kids' lives in every way.
Like Barbie and Ken.
Oh my gosh. Barbie and Ken.
There's no Barbie and Pamela. We only have
no Barbie and Pamela.
It's just Barbie and Ken. Or there's no Ken and David.
Yeah.
It's just Barbie and Ken.
Which I feel, again, and I know we've said that in a previous episode, maybe we need to do some research. Like, has Barbie come out with, like, having more?
Yeah, we're not up with the times in the Barbie
world. We haven't played with Barbie in a minute, but
it's a big minute for me.
Oh, yeah. / never. Maybe they have more inclusive relationships within the Barbie franchise at this point, but you're right. Barbie and Pamela seems foreign.
Yeah.
Ken and Dave seems foreign.
I've never heard of a commercial.
No.
And I'm sure my nieces would have been like, have you heard of Barbie and Pamela?
Yeah,
they have not.
And so all of these are examples of heteronormativity. And so if you're listening right now and you're like, they keep saying this extremely long word that I don't really understand. So hetero, straight, heteronormativity is essentially the idea, like the assumption that everyone that you meet is straight and cis. So straight and cisgender. And that's kind of that. The assumption that being straight and being cis is what is preferred and what is really normal, right? Mm-hmm. Like in your gender identity and in your sexual orientation.
That's what is accepted in society.
Exactly. And if you are outside of the quote unquote norm, as in anything other than straight or anything other than cis, you are different. You are outside of the norm and you need to pronounce yourself.
You're queer.
You're queer, right? And queer, we love the term, which we have reviewed
talked about before.
But in the like pejorative way, right? Like people would think about it in that homophobic way of like, they are the queer as in different, as in odd. People,
outside of what is accepted in society.
Exactly. So it's like essentially the ideology that refers to the belief that we have these two separate and opposing genders, right? That there is boy, girl, man, woman.
Mm-hmm.
We've already broken that down. That is false. That is incorrect information. That is two examples of gender. But there are multiple other examples of gender, right? So the idea that heteronormativity is that there are these two separate and opposing genders that are associated to these roles that are associated also to your biological sex. So everything that falls under the umbrella of heteronormativity, we want to start to break down.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about it today.
Yeah.
We're going to start breaking it down today, but I think the conversation is going to continue because this umbrella is really, really, really big.
Yeah.
And listeners, I know that there are certain ways that you understand how heteronormativity has penetrated like your life or the lives of your children and just how pervasive it is in society. But there are some ways that we don't even realize how heteronormative we all are.
Until you kind of really take a step back and really think about it.
Yeah. And like things that we say on a day-to-day basis that the origin of these expressions even can mm-hmm. really be found in the tenets of a heteronormative society.
Yeah.
Right. Like, so we want to start to just like break that all down.
And just imagine if, you know, we've talked about like the coming out stuff before and imagine if the roles were reversed, how weird that would be.
Oh my gosh.
If we were to say like, you know, family meeting, guys, I've got something really big to share with you. Mm. I'm straight. I don't know. The tears are flowing. Everyone's shook. What are we going to do? She's straight.
She's going to bring a boy home.
I can't believe. Why would ever she want to be with a man?
Should we let them in the house?
I don't know. Are they coming to Sunday dinner?
Should we ask them how their experience was coming out?
Yeah. How did they know at such a young age?
Ding, ding, ding.
Ding, ding.
How did they know they were straight at such a young age? Right? Because that, and we won't get into this one right now, but can I say that's one of our like biggest queer pet peeves?
Yeah.
Is when kids try to come out and someone says, you're too young to know.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, cool. You're going to say you're too young, 7-year-old,
yeah,
10-year-old, 12-year-old, to know that you're gay. You're also saying you're old enough to know that you're straight.
Yeah.
It is completely illogical. Yeah. It makes zero rational sense.
It's like the onesies that like future lady killer.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
gosh.
So you already know that your son is going to be straight.
Yeah.
The same applies for the opposite.
100%.
You could be like, I don't know what the equivalent onesie slogan would be.
Queer success.
Queer success. There we go.
But seriously, it's just like, we're laughing because it's so ridiculous.
It's so ridiculous.
Right? So when we think about it for 2 seconds, it's like, oh, wow, I'm sexualizing that child. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming they know that they're straight.
Yeah.
But I refuse to accept that they know that they're gay.
Yeah.
Right? So you're obviously saying one is normal and the other is not normal.
Right.
That in itself, when you break it down, there's no other way to say it besides homophobic.
Yeah.
Right? That is what it is at its foundation. So we want to break it all down so we can all be like, oh shit. Oh, that's a thing that I participated in.
Yeah.
Maybe I want to change that practice. Maybe I want to think about that. Yeah. Right? Maybe that's a word that I want to use a little bit less. Right? So that's kind of the goal of today. And probably I would say our next episode as well, because the conversation might go into like a few, you know, other subtopics, if you will.
And even like with the coming out part of it, I think we kind of had like different experiences with it.
Yes.
I think it took me like a long time to realize that I was gay and I had been questioning for a long period. And then like, once I kind of like finally clued in, I was like, oh, this is why this makes more sense. And, like, all of the dots lined and the T's were crossed and the I's were dotted. And like, I was like, oh, much more sense. But I personally did not want to have like I said earlier, like a sit down family meeting, whatever it was. Mm-hmm. I wanted the same thing that my brother and sister had, where they just brought their partner of the opposite sex home with them. And, you know, that was it. There was no big conversation. There was no announcement. There was no tears. It was just,
everyone was excited to meet their partner.
If Brenna brought Dane home, nobody was like, oh my God, what's she doing with him?
Dane's a boy.
Like, what's happening here?
Sound the alarm. Dane's a boy.
And same with Cooper and Alicia. So I personally just wanted the same thing. I wanted like a low key. Here's my partner.
Totally.
We're moving on.
We're just high five. That was a silent high five, because to me, that is glorious.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is, as teachers too, I think for all young queer kids, if that could be the reality where, one, coming out isn't a thing. It doesn't exist anymore. But also just, bring your partners home, right? Buck that norm, because that's what it takes. Mm-hmm. To change the social practice is to buck the norm like you did, right? I'm doing what Cooper did. I'm doing what Brenna did. I'm just bringing home a partner. I don't need to announce myself as different. Mm-hmm. I'm as normal as everyone else in this family.
Right.
And I also have great partners that I want to introduce you to.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is.
Yeah.
And there's so many complexities in the coming out world. Like, I had a completely different experience because I had come out super late. So I was in my high 20s, and we'll get into why we came out so late too, because it's like, that's also because of heteronormativity,
which, by the way, I'm so jealous of, like, the young kids that are like, already know their queer. I'm like, oh, if I could go back in time and, you know, 12-year-old Kayla is like, you're gay,
yes,
I'd be like, oh my God, the world, like, my life would have taken potentially a completely different course.
Totally. Or even give permission to be like, gender and sex maybe doesn't matter in your attraction. Be pan, be omnisexual, be whatever you want. Like, be attracted
gender
to these
gender fluid.
People. Be gender fluid.
Yeah.
Just, you don't have to announce anything.
No, you just have to be you.
Just find a nice person.
Yeah. What a goal.
What a goal. Just find a nice person. And we're not going to ask you what's in their pants because we don't care. No,
I personally don't really want to know.
Don't
want to
know. Right. Whereas me, I came out so much later in life. And it wasn't out of a fear of rejection, or it wasn't even me knowing that I was queer and saving it from people. I just straight up didn't know,
yeah.
Which speaks to the power of the heteronormativity in my life. That when I came out later, I made a whole affair. I bought flowers and wine and told my parents, and it was a whole thing, and told my siblings, and it was a party for me because I was so pumped about it.
Yeah.
Right? I had already been through the years of, like, I didn't have to have that traumatic coming out where people were going to judge me and not accept me.
And you're older
I
too.
Knew myself at that point that I was like, whatever your reaction, it doesn't matter. Like, I'm fully here for myself. So it was all good. And it was really positive, but it was quite an event, right? It was quite an event, and it was still very emotional. There was still lots of tears. And for me, for my parents specifically, there was a whole piece of like, I'm not upset you're gay. That's whatever. Like, great.
Yeah.
But I have to grieve this piece of you that we thought we knew, right? Like, there's a Colleen that we thought we knew, and we obviously didn't know that person enough. And so there was this mourning almost that came with that.
Or potentially like, how did I not know for you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Whereas at that moment I was like, no guys, I didn't know
myself.
Like, I straight up did not know. I didn't hide anything from you. And I think that made it easier for them.
Right.
But it also raised more questions like, how did you not know?
Yeah.
You're almost 30 years old. Like, how did you not know yourself? And that to me was the moment where I was like, holy Hannah.
Yeah.
Society is so heteronormative. And I was told by society so many times that I was straight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the only way to be growing up, that even in all the ways that someone close to me could have been like, psst, you're super queer, it wasn't a reality for me.
Yeah.
Like, I like can laugh now, but it took forever to come out because we didn't have queer role models growing up. We didn't have people that we looked up to who were gay. And there were people in my family who were out, but it wasn't in an empowering way almost. Like, it wasn't spoken of in my family in an empowering, it was never negative ever, but it wasn't spoken of in an empowering way that it made it an option for me. And I can remember being a teenager or in my early 20s, my sister and I are super tight, and we would be like in restaurants around Halifax, and I would literally have like girlfriends, I would call them. I would have like my foggy goggle girlfriend. I would have my like Demarizio girlfriend or my this girl or whatever, like restaurants where I liked the servers.
Right.
And my sister and I would just like laugh and all good. It's funny. Ha ha. She probably knew, but I was just like, whatever. I have these girlfriends that I find beautiful because women are beautiful.
But probably you didn't see it as like a possibility, like, oh, I could ask that server for her number and see where this goes.
Literally not.
You were just like, I'm going to go to the Foggy Goggle and see my girlfriend again.
Yes. While I go home and call my boyfriend because I'm super straight. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like those experiences when you look back and you're like, oh, wow. And not that it was bad experiences. You just wonder what was the potential had I lived in a world that told me I could have been queer from the beginning.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's huge. That's really, really big. And so it's amazing that I can't say most, I don't know, but lots of kids have the experience where they can actually know that and start to like when they explore their sexuality or explore romanticism, they can do that with, you know,
all of the options.
Just all of the options.
It's so completely different from like 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So very different.
There's so much more freedom, but then also
there's so much more progress that needs to be made still. We still live in a heteronormative society, even with all the progress that we've made since we've been like in junior high and high school.
100%. And I don't know if this was an experience for you, but to bring it back to education and how strong heteronormativity is just for the acceptance of people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I a few years ago was teaching an ESL class. And I was working with students who had just recently moved to Canada.
Right.
And from certain countries where homosexuality is illegal and it is, you know, in some of the countries punishable, you know,
by death,
right. which is so extreme. And so I, in that moment, a few years ago, decided the relationship with these kids is number one. Mm-hmm. I need to build a relationship with these kids and a rapport with these kids. I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel comfortable in my class. That is my number one in order for them to learn.
Right.
So I made the call. They can't know I'm gay.
Yeah.
And I, in my office even, I can remember the day where I took the photo of my then girlfriend and me and put it in my desk, in my drawer, to take it off my desk so there was no like proof of me being gay.
Yeah. Avoiding the conversation, basically.
Avoiding the conversation. Not telling them, hey, everyone, I'm straight, knowing that the assumption would be that I'm straight.
Right.
And so it wasn't until months into the year when I already knew we had an amazing relationship, we had built this culture in the class that was super safe,
yeah,
that I then started talking about my girlfriend and just bringing them into conversation and making it more normalized that I was gay. And I can remember students not accepting it and right. not being mean, but just being like, oh, that's your sister, right? Every time they'd see the photo, knowing it was my girlfriend,
you have to correct them
and then correcting them.
Yeah.
But I knew at the beginning, you know, you're coming from a culture that tells you that there's something wrong with me.
Right.
Right. And so is that a betrayal to myself? Potentially.
Yeah.
But I think for me, my priority was a relationship with those kids.
Yeah.
Would I do it today? I don't think.
Yeah.
Because to me, it's no longer a betrayal just to me. It's a betrayal to all the queer kids that I want to be able to just be themselves.
Yeah.
Right. So that was my evolution as well.
Being that actual person in queer students' lives are like, oh yeah.
Right.
My teacher's queer.
Yeah.
And this is what that looks like as an adult.
Exactly.
Because all of the other kids that don't fall into the queer community have so many role models in the school system as is.
Exactly.
The vast majority of the people that are in front of the room are straight.
Mm-hmm.
So when they finally get the chance to have a queer teacher, it's like, oh, this is what that could be like. So that means so much more to those students
totally.
Who have gone maybe many, many years without a queer educator. And then exactly. all of a sudden they get one, like, oh my goodness. And not only is there one, there's multiple in the school.
Exactly. And that are open and ready to talk to us about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. And they right? all look kind of different. Like, so it's not like one little box exactly. that they have to fit in. It's like, oh, you can be queer and look like this. Or you can be queer and look like that. Or you can be queer and look like that.
Totally.
There's many options.
There's no one way to be.
Exactly.
And I think too, maybe the example of like, the betrayal or like the lying about my identity to connect with certain students, I think also demonstrates really how complex it is,
mm-hmm.
even as an adult.
Yeah.
Right. Which highlights how complicated it can be for students and just how pervasive heteronormativity really is.
Yeah.
Right. It is not a small affair. It is the number one factor in the majority of subtle homophobia today.
Yeah. People right? can go through a whole life without lives without even realizing that they live within a heteronormative society because it's that ingrained
totally.
In everything that we see and what we do.
Totally.
Oof.
Whoa. We took a serious turn there, friends.
But a good one.
No, I think a good one. I think a really important one. And I think too, and some people might be thinking like, oh my God, I can't believe she did that. I can't believe she lied, you know, lied to herself, but also lied to her kids and like, you know. And I think that's a really interesting conversation
yeah.
to have, just to watch your reaction to that story, that I'm certainly not the only person who's ever done that, you yeah. know? And so I think that really speaks to the power of heteronormativity. And we really only touched on coming out today because yeah. it's so, so, so big. But hopefully there was something, some little spark maybe that we said today.
that will make you want to listen to the next one.
That makes you want to listen to the next one. And also just makes you think and makes you question maybe practices that you've been a part of or that you've, you know, done yourself or that you've, I don't know, seen happen, right? Mm-hmm. You want to start questioning those things.
So we'll be back.
We're going to be back. Before we leave, though, because all of this can bring up some like pretty intense feelings that you want to be gentle on yourself
mm-hmm.
and you want to be gentle on others because there is no progress that comes from ignorance.
Right.
Right. Progress comes from having the conversation
and just thinking.
Listening and thinking and critically thinking about all of the things that we do and say. We'll see you soon.
We're going to do it at the same time.
Toodles.
Yeah, toodles.
Okay. Hold on, everybody. And toodles.